welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Amen. I'm going to, this morning, just respond to the leading of the Lord. God, you know God speaks to you? Yeah. Well, God speaks to me all the while. I never come here without having the direction of the Lord. It's one thing to get direction. It's another thing to be able to be a vocal in communicating that. But that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. I'm instructed by the Lord to ensure that this church is ready and fit for what God has before us. And the impact with which that was brought home to me made me aware that God's got some stuff to do in us. So to that end, I'm going to begin this morning. We have an enemy. This is not what I'm instructed to speak as the Word of God, but turn with me, or can we just put up Mark 4, verse 13. This is the parable of the sower. I'm just breaking into it. Verse 13, and it says, and he said to them, this is Jesus, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Verse 14, and it says this, the sower sows the word. So what God wants us to understand something about this, it's not just seed, and of course seed is the word, or the word of the seed, but he wants us to understand that he's talking about this word. The sower was sowing the seed of the word of God. And verse 15 goes on to say, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, listen to this, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. That means, and that tells me, as a responsible spiritual father, that many people can leave this sanctuary this morning the same way as they came in, and without what God gave them by which they could live victoriously through this week and on an ongoing basis. Because the word, you didn't understand it, and you were stolen away before you got off your seat. It was stolen. I don't think there is very much, there is a little, that I could say that would require a more serious paying of attention to it. The enemy is allowed to steal this word from you. You have no hope. You have no hope. You're just walking through life by the seat of your pants, but not by the direction and will of the Lord. And so am I. There's an enemy waiting right now to steal the word of God that is being shared now, and I'm instructed to share in a while. There's an enemy waiting to steal it. I'm saying that for two reasons. Well, I'm saying that because I want to communicate two things in which you can do something about it. One is you can take notes. Take the scriptures down. Go back home and reread those scriptures. Anything that's said, that you hear, not just said, but you hear when the word is being shared, write that down. I was impressed this morning, and I was in prayer downstairs, and that Bible there is a Bible that we bought when we got married. The day before we got married, we went and bought this Bible. It's a loose leaf Bible. It's the one that became my Bible when I went to Bible college. And in this, you're not going to see it, but in this is all of my encounters with God, Bible college. Everything that God, it's all written there in those loose leaf pages. Everything that God spoke to me, every step of my journey was laying a foundation, is in there. Why do you think that's there? because those encounters with God were so valuable, money can't buy them. Every time I look back, I'm alive in God in that very moment of time. I'm encountering the goodness, the greatness, the promises, the power of God in my life. When you don't take notes, when you don't write down what you hear God saying to you. Now, I may be speaking to you this morning as a congregation, but each one of you could well hear and probably do something very different to the other people because He is saying something to you. And if you and I come to church and we just sit there and, yeah, well, what's He saying today? You've never opened the door for the Holy Spirit to come and function within you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Now, I didn't know it, but what I'm saying now is me being without knowing it, but I ask the Holy Spirit again, of course, as always, to have free course in me. I am doing, starting to do, without knowing what He told me to do, ensure that this church is ready for what He's got for us. Not too far away. He didn't communicate that. He just told me that we need to be ready for what we're going to have to deal with. I don't see that as a negative. I see that as the purpose of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm here and you are to fulfill the purpose of the Lord. So take notes. Rehear the word. Don't hear it. Just don't rehear it once. Rehear the word. You are not listening to words. You are listening to the Holy Spirit. Use those words in your life. Does that make sense? Don't hang on words. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. I guarantee I'm not saying a whole lot right now, but He's speaking to you if you're hearing Him. I came up and asked Carol because we designed, and some of you use it, but if you don't, I want to encourage you. See Carol, or I'll ask Carol to bring from the office to bring up a supply of the booklets that you already made for putting notes in. I think it costs £2. Not interested in your money, but they cost £2. They're spiral bound. And keep your record of what God says to you. If He's just putting the scriptures down, start taking away from this place the food that God deposits. Don't leave it here. Does that make sense? I want to encourage you to do it with all my heart. I reread the word all the time. I don't mean this word, the word that I've heard Him speak. And I can't say enough. I can't stress that enough. I'm going to turn you to a scripture. Turn with me, would you, to stand? No, I'm going to pray. Father, today I ask that You would grant to us, every one of us in this place, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Yourself, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we might know what is the hope of our calling, and what are the riches of the glory of Your inheritance in us, the saints, is? And what is the exceeding greatness of Your power towards us that believe? According to the working of Your mighty power that You wrought in Christ Jesus when You raised Him from the dead and seated Him at Your own right hand, far above every principality, every power, every might, every dominion, and You have placed all things under His feet and given Him to be the head of all things to the church, to this church, which is His body. Father, we give You thanks for that today. We receive it in Jesus' name. I want to turn you to Matthew's Gospel, Chapter 5, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and there's one verse I want to just talk about this morning. It says this, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." I'll say it again. Blessed are those. The word blessed there means happy. Hallelujah. Do you know you can be happy all the time? Happy. Happy are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's just break it up very simply for the sake of our time. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let's just take righteousness for a moment. The Bible says that we that are born again are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So what the Bible is saying to us is this, and what Matthew the writer is communicating to is this, that we're to hunger and thirst after being like Him. Jesus is our example. We can look at many scriptures, but we're talking about this scripture that God's put in our heart. To hunger and thirst to be like Him. Not like you, not like me, not like some, but to Him. There is no other example that you ought to follow, or I, but Him. And yet we're all called to be an example. And the reason that we, and the only basis in which you and I can become an example to anybody, is because they're seeing Him in us. The Bible says we're to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We really have a difficulty in trying to understand what Jesus is saying there when He says hunger. We'd have a better understanding of what that really means if we lived in some of these third world countries where there was no food, where they were scavenging around for whatever they could get. Like the prodigal son, he was willing to eat that which they were going to feed the pigs with. It's hard for us here to really understand that. But try for a moment. You must have had some time in your life whereby you were starving and you were in a situation, maybe you'd gone for a long walk, maybe you'd got stranded, a train hadn't turned up, a bus hadn't turned up or whatever, and you had to walk and walk and walk, and you were in the country, whatever. You may have had some experience of that, what it is to be hungry. But to be really hungry, to hunger and thirst, to be really hungry means that you'll do anything to get just a morsel, just something to choose to go into your tummy. It's not even at that, in a case like that, it's not even getting the food in your tummy. It's just tasting it. But notice what it says. To hunger and thirst. You probably had a better experience of being thirsty. Especially in a hot summer's period. You're out somewhere and you're just thirsty. And you just envisage, oh, a cold, fizzy lemonade or whatever. Wow. You know what it is to be thirsty. And I'll tell you this, when you're thirsty like that, your number one mission is to get a drink. You'll go out of your way, even if it may be knocking someone's door, taking a slight journey. Now, when I was at school, I didn't live for too far from our school. And I was in secondary school, grammar school, and I'd go home and somebody had an experience whereby they had knocked at this certain house and said, I'm thirsty in the summertime, and they came out with a sizzling lemonade, cold. So, of course, me and a few others, when we learned that, we didn't do it a lot, but we knocked the door and said, would you have a drink of water? We really were looking forward to this cold lemonade, you know? When you're thirsty, genuinely thirsty, we were just wanting the fizzy drink. When you're genuinely thirsty, you'll do what it takes to get your drink. Now, we need to grasp that because the Bible says this is the only way to do it. They that hunger and thirst, say it with me, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall shall. There's no might be's. God is not a man that he would lie. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Shall be. What does that mean? That's this. God, I want you more than anything else. I want you almost more than life. You probably have no idea what I'm talking about. But there's a place you can get to. I hope you do. But there's a place you can walk into in the realm of the Spirit where you so want God that there is nothing, 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 nothing that's more important to you than getting hold of God. There is a place of quiet rest. It's near to the heart of God. I'm not talking about being religious now. I'm not talking about attending church and going home and feeling good because you've been to church. I'm talking about something that happens between you and God, and no one has an idea it's happening until something so overtakes your life and they see God or something that pertains to God. The book we've just read from says righteousness and evidence of an indwelling God in that person's life. There's a testimony, there's an evidence. You know, today, and I was meditating upon this when the Lord said I'm to ensure that this church is ready. As I meditated on it, I just waited on him trying to get, what are you really meaning? I understand that and I can take into a lot of depth, but what are you really meaning? What are you really saying? And he communicated to me this way in two separate ways. By communicating, firstly, that on the whole, people have knowledge and no evidence. They can talk the talk. Some can do it better than others, but no evidence. And then the word I'm going to use for what he put it, because I was what I sensed in my spirit, the other word, which is our biggest enemy, is complacency. Complacency. You can take it or leave it. There's no hunger there. When you can take it or leave it, there is no hunger there. When you come to a place in God and you don't step into it, you just don't go home and say, I'm going to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You're going to start a journey, and that journey is going to involve you and me in just spending all the time you can in his presence and just worshiping him and praying as the Spirit of God inside of you enables you to pray and asking him for help and asking him for direction and opening that book and reading it and hearing his voice when you hear his voice inside of you and following that through, writing it down, chewing on it, thinking on it, thanking him for it, asking him to help you understand how does this outwork in your life. It's personal. Only you, only I can do that. There's no pattern to follow. The Holy Spirit lives inside every believer here, and it's him that's personal to you, and he will never fail. The only thing that the Holy Spirit has that can stop him doing anything in your life at all is you. You've got to start hungering and thirsting after God. I want to be like you. Do you know what that means? It means dying to self. It means getting out of the way. It means stop being petty. It means being able easily and quickly to forgive, because you have now, and increasingly you get a greater and greater and greater revelation of what happened for you. God forgave you. For many, that's up here. But I tell you, when it gets down here, you'll find yourself crying, not out of fear, but out of reverence. You just don't know how to stop, because God Almighty is touching your life. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You don't try it for a day. You don't try it for an hour. Day and night, you have one mission, being in the presence of God, closing the door. Not food. You're not interested in it. It's no priority in your life. You have to have a morsel, maybe, but that's nowhere near what you want. There's a hunger inside of you that food cannot satisfy. You have to start that journey. You don't arrive there overnight. In fact, once you start that journey genuinely, you start going forward, and you don't realize it, but you're going forward all the time. As long as you are following up on what God is doing with you and saying to you, oh, if you will really genuinely start walking with, don't play with Him. Hunger and thirst for Him. That starts in the heart, not in the head. To hunger and thirst for God. That will take you to your Word. You will live in that Word. You'll just hunger it. You'll devour it to see God. You'll just read it and read it and read it just to see Him. Not to really hear what it's saying, just to see Him. Because in the volume of the book, it's written about Him. He is the Word. So you'll read it and read it. And as you read it, you just move into another realm, whereby you're just communicating with Him all the time. He's talking to you. You're hearing His voice. The prophetic starts to rise up within you. And you know, my personal experience over the years, especially when it all began, the prophetic word was coming through me for me. That's how special you are to God. He will let you know what He desires for you, and He'll leave the option to you. You can say, God, I love you so much, but this not eating food, it's not easy. I want to tell you, when you start to hunger and thirst after righteousness, the desire for righteousness leaves the desire for food as unnecessary. It's unnecessary. Man does not live by bread only, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Bible says, humble yourself. Humble yourself. No one else can do that. If that's not where you're at, if you can't get before God and say, Lord God Almighty, you're so humble before Him. He's God. Church, He is God. Humble yourself before Him. Let Him know that. Pour out your heart. Let there be a continual flow of worship out of your being. There's no begging involved. It's, I love you, Lord. I want you. I just want to be with you. I want you always to be with me. It's like a child with mommy. How does it start? They that hunger and thirst after righteousness. I have a testimony in front of me here, just to help you, to start hungering and thirsting after God. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let the enemy's accusations that, you know, you're some guy, you're hungry and thirsting for God, and look at you, where you're carrying on down there, you know, it can turn you off. I remember in the early days, Hillary, I'm not eating a thing today. I'm going up to that bedroom. I'm locking the door. Please don't disturb me. I'm not coming out of there until I've heard from God. Is that right? I did come out. It wasn't my desire to come out, but I came out. It wasn't just to use the bathroom. You probably have a better memory than me, but the principle is, I came out, but I also went back. If not the same day, I can't recall now. But you know, if you hunger after something, you'll not give up. It's all in the hungering. And it's never in this. God is asking me to ensure that this church is ready for what He's got before it. I'm excited about that. But I know to be an instrument in the hand of God isn't living in the world all day and then going to church on Sunday. It's walking with him. It's talking with him. It's dying continually, that he until he gets more and more and more of you, and your thoughts get buried under the word of God. Your words bow, and your will bows to his word and his will, and slowly, little by little, that's how he lets you grow. Foundations laid, and you build on that slowly. It doesn't happen overnight. I will talk more about this, but I'm just sharing that one scripture right now. I think, let us go. They that hunger and thirst. Think about it. After righteousness. It can't be, but I'd really like to do that. Although I guess that is the starting point. I've had personally an encounter of this. And I look back with thankfulness to a God that loves me and he loves us. Until line upon line, I've seen the desire within me just grow and increase and increase and increase and increase. Till there's nothing more important in your life than God. God's got a great plan for you and me. It's together. The church isn't me and the church isn't you. We're the church. We're the church. The Bible says he wants you and me walking around, evidently able to portray that God's in our lives. The way we speak, things we do, the places we go, the communications we have, the people we mix with, the things that we do with them or will not do with them. We've gone through our life and we've had to say to people, love you so much, but if you don't mind, would you excuse us from that? We don't do that. See, in that Bible there, I know it's there. I wrote it there years and years ago. And it was this, what was permissible for me to do yesterday. The next day, I can't do it. For me, that's not for anyone else, that's for me. That's the sort of journey you and I can expect to have as we continue to press into God, hunger and thirst after him, till he consumes you. God is not a man that he lies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.